There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are discussing Operation Fox Hunt. Dubai police have arrested a gang of cyber criminals involved in a billion-dollar employment scam. We are going to have a look at the ins and outs of that, as well as what you can do to protect yourself. Very pleased to have James Tebbs, forensic advisory partner at the law firm Grant Thornton. James, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Do you want to run us through Operation Fox Hunt?
With pleasure, yes. From what we've seen released to date, so this is an online employment scam involving apparently 9 people. I think what's particularly interesting about this case is its sophistication and complexity. So there were apparently 81 companies set up in 18 countries, which is obviously a complicated network. Social media accounts set up to give the impression of legitimacy of this particular scheme, and all designed effectively to defraud victims of the scheme out of money or personal information. So as we understand it at the moment, the gang had already achieved some 32 million dirham. According to the police report, there were a further 1,100 credit card details that had been compromised with an exposure of 64 million further dirham.
So what's the actual mechanic of the scam?
So in essence, what they're trying to do is attract people into new positions. They're looking for victims who are interested in a new job or in a new role. And in some ways, that tips the balance of power in that conversation in favour of the fraudster, because they have something which the victim wants. And so in essence, through what they'll do is they'll post job adverts. They may set up fictitious websites and post adverts on job search sites, which will lead through to the fictitious company websites underneath. And then they'll go through an interview process, often asking for a CV, maybe going as far as the interview itself. And then normally get to the stage of asking either for personal information, which might help the fraudsters with a range of other types of frauds, or simply asking them for credit card details and payments directly. And of course, at that point, the victim will understand there's no real job, the money is gone, or the details have been used for another fraud.
How easy is it to spot something like this? Because this doesn't sound like an email from someone telling me I've just inherited $1 trillion and can I give them my bank account details?
So I think that's a very good question. And I think what I would say on that, first of all, is that to some extent this needs to be destigmatized, right? So if you fall victim to this type of scam, I think there's a natural level of embarrassment that people will feel. But in reality, this type of scam affects anybody, all walks of life. It's not uncommon. And so detecting it, that really depends on the sophistication of the scam. So the usual types of tips and checks, like looking for website details, making sure that the URL address makes sense, making sure that it appears to be a genuine website, if it's a recognizable company, double checking that through other routes, are ways that you can detect a scam of this nature. But sophisticated frauds, particularly cyber crimes of this type, and they're becoming increasingly sophisticated, it can be quite difficult, particularly where you're inclined to want what the scammer is offering, and therefore perhaps your guard is down and you trust them a little bit more.
Because emotions would be running high. You've been out of work, possibly, or this is a better opportunity than you've got. You want to believe it's real.
Absolutely. And that's why the balance of power, I think, tips. Perhaps people who would be naturally cautious, perfectly sensible, will understand things like risk around their internet banking and so on and so forth, might still be inclined to give away more than they would like because they believe that there is something for them to get. And the fraudster will play on that with the intention of getting them to divulge more information than they realise.
You said stigma earlier. How much of this kind of stuff goes unreported because people are embarrassed?
I think that's also a very good question. And the reality is trying to find statistics around this type of fraud and other types of similar scams is very difficult. Largely for that reason, actually. But it is not uncommon at all. In fact, topically, the FBI have released something on this only about 10 days ago, highlighting the risk of hiring scams. So it's not uncommon. In terms of how prevalent it is, it's difficult to tell. Back to that stigma, I think people would have a natural inclination to withdraw a bit, perhaps not report the fact that they've been a victim. And so that makes it difficult to detect, but that ultimately is what we have to get over so that the police can take the type of action they have done.
These guys have raised 32 million dirhams with this fraud, some $8 million. How much would individual people have been taken for? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, do you get done for $100 or does it just keep going?
That's a good question. I think also difficult to give precise statistics on that. In reality, what we're talking about is likely to be a very large number of smaller instances. So that 32 million is made up of lots of, I would guess, lots of smaller numbers. The FBI gave a figure of $3,000 was the average loss that people had suffered. Obviously, that's a bit US-centric, but perhaps gives a type of indication. So it's going to be for fees like visa processing, maybe travel and accommodation, perhaps legal verification of documentation, that type of thing. So not huge numbers necessarily, but potentially in large volume.
Do you see, as a legal forensics expert, these kind of things on the rise, both in terms of number and in level of sophistication?
Yes, to some degree. I think this is actually kind of old tricks with new tools, if for want of a better phrase. You know, so that the constant developments in technology mean that there are new and more sophisticated ways of trying to scam people. But I think the underlying scheme, unfortunately, is a human one. You know, the sort of human nature of potentially trying to take advantage of others. Unfortunately, there are aspects of society that will do that. So I don't necessarily see that fraud. And cybercrime of this type, these types of scams, is necessarily on the rise, but the tools do facilitate it. The other point I'd raise on that is, I mentioned that detection and so on maybe is lower than it might be because of reported cases. I do think there's a growing sophistication in terms of people being able to spot this, and that's both at an individual level and at a corporate level. And to some extent, when you see various survey statistics, particularly around the region, that would appear to show that the numbers are growing. But I think in reality, what's happening is that people are better at spotting it.
And I do that. Give me the three tips before we let you go. What do I need to watch for? Red flags.
Well, so look, from an individual perspective, I think, you know, it's apply caution, right? First of all, destigmatize it. Understand that this can happen to you and it may well. So verify the people that you're talking to. Make sure that you check, if you've gone through an online website, that the person you're dealing with is genuinely a representative of the company they appear to be from, and you can go through other sources to do that. Anybody that's a legitimate provider is going to be quite happy to verify and validate their own identity. And I think on top of that, take reasonable precautions, right? Do not give out personal information. Do not make payments without certainty. Those are the general rules that people will be familiar with for personal finance management anyway.
James Tebbs, forensic advisory partner at the law firm Grant Thornton. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.